I may want to do that tonight, reach out to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be in the house of the Lord with me tonight.
Get situated here. One of these days when we get on the other side, we'll be able to have a church service. I was thinking the other day, Brother Daniel, one of these days we'll be all wearing the millions and millions, and all of a sudden, I would say one day, but there won't be no days, but at some point, they'll announce it and say, okay, it's time for Spirit and Truth Assembly to have service today. And a whole host of heaven, and Brother Daniel, we're going to come up, and we're going to preach, and we're going to sing, and everybody's going to join in. Amen. We're all going to have our chance, and just throughout eternity, maybe that's just my idea now. So we'll have our chance, and Happy Valley will get to do, whatever their church name is now, and all the different ones, we'll just all get to do that together, have church together. And so I'm sure some of those sermons we'll get to preach there, Brother Ben's going to be really, and we won't have anything hold us back like we do here.
Right? That's right.
So, praise the Lord. I told Brother Elijah, I said, this morning I got up and I was on my way to work, and you know how the Lord does things. It just struck me. That song, Down From His Glory, there's a key in there that I never figured out what was.
Yeah.
And I was on the way to work this morning, and it just struck me. Call Brother Tim and ask him what that key is. Because Elijah's probably going to sing that tonight, so that's kind of what I was thinking. And so when he sent me a text this afternoon, it had that song on there. So anyway, I got in touch with Brother Tim today and asked him, and so he helped me with that. So
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. It's fun to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about fundamental foundation of faith. I know that's kind of a, I don't know what we call that, a strange text or what, but tonight's title. Well, we'll go to Exodus chapter 34. And let me think here just for a moment. I may be too tense. It was a rather lengthy reading here. We begin reading at verse 1, I guess. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon them, on these tables, the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there unto me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks or the herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the mount, and the Lord had, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and truth, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I will make a covenant before all the people, and I will do marvels such as has not been done in all the earth, nor in any nations. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is terrible, a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. For thou shalt make a covenant with them, inhabitants of the land,
and they go whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one called thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons to go a whoring after their gods. I also want to go read from 2 Corinthians chapter, say chapter 11. I don't know why I wrote on that paper. It should be 11, sister, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Very familiar scripture with us. Would to God you bear with me a little in my folly, and in the bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. One more scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, very familiar one to us. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just give this time to you now. I pray, Lord, you'd be able to come down and just use me and the people. Lord, allow me to speak, and Lord, you deliver the thoughts that needs to be given to your people tonight. Lord, may it just go really deep into their hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We'll get squared away here in a minute. We're being choppy. But a very, very, very simple message tonight. But I want to kind of go slow. I don't mean slow by taking a long time, but I want to go because I'd like to, as we're plowing, I'd like to plow really deep tonight. Because I'm expecting the bride of Christ, that the Lord is going to do great things among her between now and the time we get out of here. This gospel works.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for us, we want to see the Lord multiplied among us. We want to see his miracles, his power. We want to see him do the thing he said. And this gospel works. And I know, I believe that it's going to explode one of these days. You're going to see God do some really great things. I don't say that it's going to save the world and the whole world is going to be converted. We know that's not going to happen. But there's a finishing up of the bride movement.
Right.
There's a finishing up that God is going to do. And we're not going out with a dud.
Amen.
We're going out with the power of God all over us.
That's right.
That's all. And so there's new horizons that this word that we believe in, there's layers and there are things there that I believe is still yet to unfold to us. It's going to unlock this that I'm talking about. And no one's going to make this happen. It'll happen in God's timing. These things will... He will reveal and so forth. But I just want to say that in order to get into that cycle that I believe is coming, we've got to get this right.
Right. Yeah.
So perhaps we're not there because we're still missing some stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so what I'm getting at is that God sent this message, and he unfolded this word as vindicated as anything that was in the Bible. Been very vindicated in his Bible, vindicated, and there's a package of truths that was given through that ministry that we are to receive.
Right.
God doesn't do something just for naught.
Right.
He sent it, and every one of these things that God has sent that he, you know, let me just imagine, it was a package, and he said, here, William Branham, take this and preach this and give this package to your people, and they'll receive it and they won't understand, but at some point they'll all get it.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is not one of those things can be missing. Whatever he sent, we've got to get it.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've got to get it right.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I'm not trying to put this on man and say, oh, we've got to do it, but I'm saying that revelation, he's got to strike the right thing in the right place, and everything's got to get in the right place. And then this gospel is going to shine, because it always has. Right? And God controls that cycle, and I believe we are in that cycle. And so I said all that to say this, that I want to share some fundamental thoughts here this morning when I got up, and just the Lord, I had some things written down, and He just changed it to this. And so, like I said, it's going to be a very simple message tonight, but I pray that we go really deep, and deep enough, like, you know, when you set the hook in a fish, it can't come out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to set the hook in there tonight. So, fundamental foundation for faith, or fundamental foundation for Christianity, just mainly the fundamental foundation of what we believe and what God has in His program for us. And so, you know, fundamentals are the base, you know, we consider the basics things of whatever discipline it is you're trying to learn. There's fundamentals to it on how to do those things. But I don't want you to think, well, fundamental, that's just real simple stuff, because the fundamental things are a foundation.
Yeah.
And if you don't get the fundamentals right, you'll constantly be missing and making mistakes and off on the wrong track and so forth. So there are fundamental things that I think that this message, it would come to straighten out in us so that we get those things straight, and then we can build other things on top of that as God would give it. Because if you have a foundation that's wrong, then everything goes on top of it, won't work right.
That's right.
So the fundamental foundation has got to be right. And so, you know, in electronics, I've mentioned this before, there's something called Ohm's Law. It's some guy that understood, learned how, figured out how the relationship between voltage and current and resistance and heat, power, is. And it's a mathematical formula. And it's the first thing they teach you when you go into college in electronics. They'll teach you what electrons are, and then they'll teach you about this. And you think, well, okay, that's simple stuff. But what you find out is, no matter how far you go and whatever you want to be involved in electronics, whether it's microchips or motors or whatever, all of it, you better have that fundamental, that Ohm's Law right. You better understand that, or you'll be constantly messing up on no matter what it is, because it all goes back to that.
Yeah.
And so there's fundamental things there. So the fundamentals of why we serve God, and how do we serve God, on what basis, what is this about?
Yes.
Right? And so we read in the scriptures there, you know, that God is a jealous God.
Right.
We read there in that portion of the scriptures that he even one of His names is jealous. And God has many names. And you know how a lot of times the names in the Bible there, the name indicated what He is.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Jehovah Shalom, peace. He is our peace. Right?
Yeah.
And so one of His names is jealous, because He is a jealous God. That's what He is. Like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? Lord Jesus Christ, that's what He is. He is the Lord. He is Jesus. He is the Christ.
Right.
And so He's a jealous God. And so God's jealousy is not like our jealousy. Mm-hmm. Brother Bram talked about, he was saying, just pure. And he said, well, it ain't pure, but it's ungodly. You know, jealousy, it's horrible, because jealousy among men, you might kill another man because he insults your wife. Mm-hmm. There are men who killed their wife because of jealousy. Because they didn't want, right? And so you have to understand, God's jealousy is not like that.
Right.
Right? God's jealousy is a godly jealousy, and it is because He loves us.
Right.
It is because He loves us. And you know, God's love is not filial love, not human love, like it would do the same thing I said, might make you hurt someone because of filial love, of the way you love your wife. But God's love is a sacrificial love. God's love is a unconditional love,
right?
And so we realize that if God loves us, and His jealousy is not a selfish jealousy.
Yeah.
Right.
His love is for our purpose. It's for our betterment. His jealousy is for our purpose.
Yeah.
So you realize that He is life, okay?
Right.
He is the only form of eternal life there is,
yeah.
Right? And so He loves us, and He wants us to live.
Right.
Now, how are we going to live? The only way you can live is if you have Him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you start going off after something that's not Him, His jealousy, but for what you're going after, jealousy over you, not because, well, I like the way it feels. No, it's because he loves you and he wants you to live, and if you're going somewhere else, you're dying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's his love, his jealousy. So any other God, any other thing that you worship besides him is leading you to death.
Right.
Right? And so when I go through this, I want to show you, why do we live and act and do and dress and talk, and why do we live a holy life?
Yeah.
And I want to show you is that because if we're not living that way, we're going away from him. And he views that as worshiping another, because that's what it is. And he's jealous over us because of that. Because he wants us to live. And he knows that the only way we can live is if we have him. But he's a holy God. He can't dwell in the midst of evil. He can't dwell in the midst of sin. He's life. He can't dwell in the same place where death is.
Right?
Death is actually the absence of life. And so he's jealous over us because he loves us. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Now look at this. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine that was delivered to you. And so who we obey, we're servants to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
So if we're servants, slaves,
right,
owned by, property that belongs to them. So if we're acting out things, those things we act out point to someone who we serve.
That's right.
Right.
See, so actions are tied to the one you serve.
Right.
So there's actions that the devil would have you living, which tells you that he's your master.
Right.
But then there's actions that we would take and we would live that would show that God is the one that we serve.
Yes.
That he's the one that owns us. Now take that back to his jealousy. That the way that we would serve God, ways of life, living holy, ways that please him, ways that make him happy with us. And he's happy because we're not moving off into death. We're living in a way that he can abide with us and we can abide with him. We can be in his presence, in his holy presence. Because when we start doing something unholy, we can't live in his presence. Therefore, his love, his jealousy rises up because he doesn't want someone else having you. Not like our jealousy, but he does it because he wants you to live. He has a love for you and wants you to live. Amen. So the life that you live and the things that you do are indicators of who you serve and who your God is.
Yes.
Amen. So because the relationship you have with who you're servants to, it condenses down and expresses itself through your actions. It's through your daily life. Right?
Right.
That's why the scripture said, you know them by their fruits. So you cannot disconnect this. It's because the scripture said, don't you know that who you obey, that's who you're servants to.
Right.
Right? So whoever it is over you that you honor, that you is your God that you worship, you're going to have actions conducive to that one who is your God.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
See, the people, they want to say, oh, it doesn't matter what you wear and not, it doesn't matter where you go and how you act. God knows. He just, you know, and people have problems with that because the reason why is because they don't have a new birth.
Right.
Right? Because God takes the desire for those things out when you have a new birth. But people want to do that. And so this is why there's so much of the Bible, so much of the Word of God that is instructions about the way we live.
Yeah.
Especially in the Old Testament. And I won't be able to go through all this tonight, but because, you know, when you get to the New Testament, in the Old Testament, you know, outward physical law, judgment, you know, burn them at the stake or whatever, the different, stone them and the different things, not burn at the stake necessarily, but stone them,
right.
You know. But in the New Testament, lightning don't strike when you do something wrong, but the effects are still there.
Right?
That if you don't walk in holiness, you don't walk in the right kind of lifestyle, and you're not in obedience, as we read, obedience unto life or righteousness, then it's still the same, just in the Old Testament it was more visible, but it's the same concept. And so that's why there's so much of the Word of God that it speaks about life. So you go back in the Old Testament, and the Word governed every aspect of people's lives, right? And if everybody wants to come on and say, well, we're in the New Testament, we don't live that way. But you realize that all of the principles that were there, we might not have to do burns, sacrifices, and do this and that, and you know, and pull the head off of a pigeon or anything and pour the blood on another. We don't, may not have to do all that, but the principles that was behind every bit of that is still true today and magnified today under the gospel.
Right.
Right.
It's magnified even more. And so there, the Old Testament, you know, it covered every aspect of life. And if you get over here and you look at what Paul's teaching, remember Paul was the one that brought it to us Gentiles, and you look at it, he talks about all kinds of things, marriage and how to raise children and you name it.
Right.
Because who you obey, that's who you're servants to. And you can't get away. You can't. I don't care. People can have all kinds of unbelief, but it's still the truth. That your actions are going to tell whose your God is.
That's right.
And you act the way you live and what you do. And if you're constantly trying to circumvent the Word of God and trying to say, well, it doesn't matter. And I'm not talking about all this legalistic stuff. I'm talking about the principles of life that we are far enough along in the gospel to understand what really matters.
Right.
To always trying to figure out a way, because these things do matter.
Right.
Right? If we're trying to do that and always trying to circumvent it, there's something wrong. Because our actions are going to point to that. And so, a true relationship that we have will show our connection to the God that we serve.
Yeah.
If you're living a correct kind of life to the liking of your God, and I say that because a lot of people serve other gods. There is only one true living God.
Right.
But they, anything can be a god. Is it a piano can be a god,
right.
A movie star, or a vehicle, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, but if we're living the correct life that's to the liking of the God we serve, then He'll not be jealous over you because you're serving Him. He won't have a reason to be jealous,
right.
And He will shower upon you His blessings. And that's true with, even if you're not serving our God, the Creator,
yeah.
But if you're serving some other false god, if you're listening to devils, He will shower upon you all of the blessings that are in line with His taste.
Yeah.
Right.
But you understand, if we serve God, the holy lifestyle is in line with His taste.
Right.
Right. Then that's how He's pleased with us. So in the case with our God, the believing, we're talking about the true one and only living God, if our actions are displeasing to Him, then we are moving toward death. Because He can't dwell, you understand?
Yeah.
Right.
He can't dwell in the midst of sin and so forth. And so if we're moving away from Him, we're hurting ourselves.
Right.
If we're moving away from Him, if we're trying to figure out how to live different than what is His holiness,
yeah.
Then we are moving toward death. We're hurting ourselves, and we're the ones doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's right. And so we're hurting ourselves if we don't live holy. The actions that we do, if we're living like that, is hurting us, and He doesn't like it. It makes Him a jealous God. And you have to remember now, holiness, I said this the other day, holiness means sanctified or set apart or dedicated for a purpose, for the purpose. And of course, we think of God set aside for Him, for His purpose, in line with His liking. That's what we consider holiness. But holy just means set apart. You can be set apart for a purpose that's not God. And you know, you could apply that, but that's not the way we apply it. So the thing I'm wanting to get there is when we talk about holiness, we're talking about in line with his liking, his desires, his program, in line with life that he is. It's holy. And if you step away from a holy lifestyle, you're stepping off toward death because you're moving away from the life, the presence of God. He is life. So you're moving away from him, and so he becomes a jealous God because now you're moving toward worship or obeying a different one that you're serving.
Right.
It's real simple. See, like I said, you are servants to who you obey. And so we want to be holy to God is to live in line with his program and his liking. I said a while ago, people want to push the idea that it doesn't matter what you wear, what you say, where you do, where you go, what you do. But it does matter. Because they are indications of who you serve.
That's right.
And you can't get away from that. Because
right.
If you want to deny that, you're denying the scripture we just said a while ago.
Right.
Right? And I say that because, there's so many millions of ways that Satan wants to get people just in little subtle. And he don't come real big. He comes subtle.
That's right.
And just any little thing that he can get you to move away from that holy lifestyle, that thing that's acceptable with God, he's moving you toward death, and he's getting a foot in the doorway, and he'll move and a little bit more and a little bit more through desensitizing. And next thing you know, he's got you all the way over off of living for God, and the presence of God is not with you like it was before.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, and so we understand that's the concept, that that's the way it works. So it's a lie when people tell you it doesn't matter, because it does matter.
Yep.
The God that you serve, whoever he is, requires that you live pleasing to him.
That's right.
Including Satan.
That's right.
Including Satan. Because Satan understands this program. No man would want to spend very much time with a woman that he was interested in who snubbed him all the time.
Right.
The Lord why would a man want to spend time with her when she's constantly trying to run from him and don't want nothing to do with him?
Right.
Now think about it. What if that man is life? But he's trying to give her life and she keeps running from it.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about. Right? And if he truly loved her, he'd be willing to do anything he can for her, but he can't force her.
Right.
If he's gentle. So he'd give himself, die for whatever, so that she might have him and live, but she runs off with some other fellow, which happens to be death to her because there's only one life.
That's right.
There's only one being that is life. And there's only one way, and that's to serve him. And it's not bondage. It's simply living in a lifestyle that's not bringing death in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if he has a certain way for you to seek for a spouse, and you get away from that, you're on the path of death.
Yeah.
Right.
Every little thing matters. Because it covers our whole entire walk of life. Amen. So the God we serve requires that we please him, whether of sin unto death, right, or obedience unto righteousness.
Right.
So Satan's not happy when people don't express his program.
Yeah.
See, he's jealous too. He's like, I want this one, and they've got to obey me, and their actions are going to show that they serve me, and that I own them, or I'm. You see what I'm saying? Just the same thing. And so your life you live does tell. It does tell what's going on in your walk. Amen. And we know that that's the truth. But Satan comes along and he tries to get people to believe. He has all these millions of ways of deceiving people and just little things. And he's got just multitudes of things that says, just do this. And this is not this holy lifestyle, this thing that is acceptable, you know, to prove what is acceptable to the Lord, as the scripture says. And so that life, and he'll pull somebody off just a little bit. Well, do this. And you know, this really isn't pulling away. This really isn't getting, you're still okay. convincing people to do something a little bit different. Well, and that scripture doesn't really mean that. And he's trying to make people think that you're still okay and you're still on the path and you're still in righteousness and you're still pleasing to God and that God's okay with it. But because you stepped away from that line of righteousness, death is already, that's already moving in the direction of death. But he's convincing people that you can do that and it's okay because you're not, you know, you're still all right.
Yeah.
In millions of ways. And tell you, well, you know, you can wear whatever makeup and paint your face like Jezebel. It's all, God don't care. It's all right.
Right.
And now some of us, we know that. We can, well, that's no big deal. But there are plenty of people out there, and a lot of the sisters that are pulled in that direction. There's a pull of Satan to try and, well, it really doesn't matter. You can go ahead and cut your hair, and so you don't have to listen to the Bible. And he's trying to convince them that it's okay, that God accepts that. But your actions tell who you serve.
That's right.
You man, woman put on apparel that's not right, a man put apparel that's not right. Oh, it's okay. No, it is pulling away, and the actions show that you're serving someone else because you're acting out what their plan is. God put these things in the Bible for a reason.
Yes.
And that's why they're there. Amen. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will always move in that channel of righteousness to, would God cause his own daughters to dress in a way that make men lust after him?
No.
No, he wouldn't do that. Oh, but it's okay. You don't have to wear a dress below your knees. Listen, I'm a male. I'm a healthy male.
Right.
Okay? And if your dress, no matter how it is, if it's above the knees, that's a different level.
That's right.
That's a different level of attraction to a man's eye.
Yes.
Whether you're standing, sitting, kneeling, whatever you're doing. Now, listen. I said the other day, God judges. And he offered testimonies. And I'm telling you, Brother Daniel's shaking his head, yes. I'm telling you, as sisters in the church, anybody else will hear this, when your dress goes above your knee, you're moving to another level of temptation to that man, and he might, as the scripture said, he might look at you and lust after you, and you have committed adultery with him is the way it says it, because you've provoked it. And you might try to put it off on him and say, well, he's just a bad person. No, you can provoke things. You can provoke things that wouldn't necessarily happen, right? And so Satan comes along, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay.
No.
He's pulling you off of that line of righteousness,
yes.
Right? Through subtlety, being subtle.
That's true.
And so he loves to do things like that. He loves to do things, cause people to do those. And so when he does, people, when you obey those things, you're actually moving toward killing yourself. You know, moving toward death, spiritually.
Correct.
So, God is holy. He is life, and he cannot dwell in the same place as death. And that's why, you know, the scripture says, if you defile your body, then God will destroy you. And it's all like God comes down and says, oh, you defiled your body. No, the very principle that if you start messing into, going over into things that aren't life, you move over into something that's death, you're killing yourself. It's a program of God. It's a law of God. And so, yes, God is destroying you by the very law he put in place, but you're the one pulling the trigger on it. By moving out of righteousness and moving over into something, you know. And we know the fall happened in the Garden of Eden by reasoning. And I've said this to the church many times. If you get over on the ground of reasoning with the devil, you've lost. You're going to lose.
That's right.
This is not reasoning. This is faith.
That's right.
Faith in the promise of God that he'll do what he said he will do.
Amen.
And so we understand that. And so It's you can say, well, God will destroy them, but it's really them destroying themselves because they've submitted themselves to the law of God that says such.
Okay.
And so it's actually them doing it. And so when they move away and they do those things, he's a gentleman, and he cannot dwell. Like I said, he can't chase after them and force them to come. He's a gentleman. Now, people won't say these things outright, but their acts show that's what they're doing. They would never tell you, oh, yeah, I'm going to step away from God's program.
No.
They don't do that, but that's what they're doing.
Right.
Satan's lulling them to sleep to make them think it's okay to compromise. And so, when they move away from him, and life's not there, then enemies automatically come in.
Right.
See, we need protection. We need protection from the Lord, you know, from the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we move away from his word and start moving further away, next thing you know, we don't have, especially don't have protection over the area that we've moved into.
Right?
Right? If God says don't put anything evil in front of you, and you do it anyway, now you are vulnerable to evil things that come at you. Because you've stepped out of the protection zone.
Right. Right.
And if he says, dress modest, sister, but then you don't dress modest, you now are vulnerable at spirits to come, and you got your foot on a slippery grave already because you know you're out of control.
That's right.
Right? The best place is to stay into the place where he can protect you, and then you don't ever have to worry about whether or not you got his protection.
Right.
And so, and those things come in automatically. And so in the Old Testament, you can see that things like that happen in the Old Testament more physically. When they would get away from God, enemies would come in.
Right.
When they'd get away from God, droughts would come. Famines would come. Evil rulers would rise up and take over.
Right.
And it's all because they moved out of the protection of God. They moved out of and quit. And so when we read this, Scripture saying, listen, you're going to go into this land, but you make sure that when you go on that land, and if some place says, and when you've been there for a long time, don't you compromise, don't you get desensitized and get to the place where you start worshiping their gods, and don't you marry their daughters.
Right.
Because over time, those daughters who are serving false gods will bring the men to start serving false gods.
That's right. Right.
And it all starts with, don't mess around with them in the first place.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, what got me on this, I was reading about Solomon. Solomon had been, you know, in his he had been warned of God, and you know, and he went out and he started marrying all these women from other countries that served other gods. And the scripture said, after God had appeared to Solomon twice, like, really? God had come down and talked to him and gave him that gift of wisdom and so forth. And then, even after all that, here's the power of it. So I'm trying to tell you, of compromising, especially sisters, the pull that you have on a man. Right? Here God had visited, and here this man had a gift that is equivalent to like what we have seen in our day. Right? And yet, because he disobeyed and married all these women from other religions, and the scripture said they began to pull him away, and later in his life, he started serving those gods and observing that and letting them build up places and do all these things for the God of the different ones, three or four different ones.
Yeah.
And so because of that, God said, because you've done this, I'm going to rip the kingdom away from you, but not all of it. And so we understand that he's going to take 10 tribes away from him and give it to someone who was one of his servants at the time, and which was Jeroboam. Yep. So you understand what I'm saying? And so these things matter.
Yes.
And like I said, I won't be able to get through all that tonight because I want to go down through the sins of Jeroboam.
Yep.
I want to show you what he did. And why the scripture said over and over, one king after another king after another king after another king, and it kept saying over and over, and he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat.
That's right.
And it was a terrible thing that he brought into Israel. And if you look at it, it parallels exactly what you and I find today, the very compromising that Satan wants us to do. He's trying to get us to do the same things, same types of things.
Amen.
Compromise. And the effects and the wake of it is the same. And so, God is holy. And when his life is departs, when we move away from his life, then these enemies come in. Why? Because we've left our protection. Anything that creeps into our life that is not holy, not to God's liking, that's not part of God, the life of God, is death moving in.
Yeah.
It moves in on you, and not just you, but on your offspring.
Yes.
You see, outside of God's protection, the sins are visited upon second, third, fourth generation children. This reads Exodus 34:7, she'll bring that up. I want to show you this. You got to watch this scripture. He says he's keeping mercy for thousands, for forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins. Now think about that. If he's forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, then there's no way he can pass that on to your generation after you. Right? But look what he says next. By no means clearing the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children, he's visiting that iniquity on the fathers and children from the ones who are guilty. But if you come in line and you are forgiven your iniquities and sins and strength, then you're a forgiven people. You're not a guilty people.
Yep.
But if you're not, then these things pass on.
Yes.
Right? And we understand that today that you might have, you know, your parents, even physically, might have had a sickness or a disease or something like that. That maybe the doctors say, well, you're going to have it too. But in Christ Jesus, that breaks that.
Yeah.
You don't have to accept that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, but the iniquities, when those people did things, then children and children's children to the fourth generation suffered because of the evil things that their parents did. But if you get over in the righteous side, those who weren't guilty, who were serving God, then those blessings passed on. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. And so it falls to step outside of the protection of God, it affects everybody that you're around.
Right.
Amen? Everybody that's around, you're around. And so let me finish here by just these last few comments. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us.
Right.
We love him because he saved us, he heals us, he keeps us, he protects us. He's got a pathway of righteousness for us to live in. If somebody would do that for you, think about it.
Yeah.
Did that for you, well then, he deserves your love.
Yeah.
You know, we like it when people do something for us. But what if it was, which it is, that you had no way to save yourself and he came and made a way?
Yeah.
Then we love him because of that. Maybe that sounds selfish but we can't help it. We love him because he stepped in and paid the price for us.
Amen.
Right? And so that's why we love him. Why do we love? Why do we obey? Why do we adhere to his holiness? Why do we do these things? Why do we live right, dress right, act right? Why do we do that? Because it keeps him in our life. It keeps life in our midst.
Yeah.
And when we start stepping away from those things, it just starts, you know, another way of looking at it is the Holy Spirit like a dove, and you offend him. He goes out, he has to go out and get on a limb until you make that right. So it's the whole thing. So it's a very simple principle. We are servants to who we obey. And our actions are tied to the one we serve. And if we're serving a holy God, our actions are holy to him. They are in line with his character.
Yes.
And therefore, it's holiness.
Right.
And so, he knows that if you go commit adultery, that's death. So he tells us not to do it.
Yeah.
Right? He tells you not to defile your body. So if you go do it, it's death. So he tells us not to.
Yeah.
Right? These things are not legalism. They're there because they're instructions on how to keep life in your midst.
Amen.
How to keep yourself in tune with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that life can live through you and be a blessing, not just to you, but to generations after you.
Amen.
That's why those things are like that. And so Satan wants to come along and he wants to have you, well, it's okay, it won't hurt to do this, and you can have this little tradition or this little thing here you do or whatever, and it really doesn't matter. But brother, sister, it will matter. It does matter. If it's not in line with holiness,
yeah,
it'll start right there. And if there's anybody listening that you don't believe this, and you step off and you not say, well, I know it says it, then you watch from that point right there. You watch from there where it goes from there and how that grows and what that brings into your life.
Yeah.
Right? What it brings and keeps bringing, it gets worse and worse until you get back.
Yep.
That's right. Now, we've got to learn to conquer these things. God has given us His Word, and He's not going to come down and pull us out of the egg. He's saying, you peck your way out. I have given you my Word. I have told you how this works. It does work. You've got to get in line with these things.
Yes.
And until we step into this Word that God has given us, especially this end time message, once we step into that, we will see it functioning and doing all the things that it said it'll do, and it's coming.
Right?
Right? But we have to understand, and each one of us, how we've got to in our own lives, take this responsibility. Run to meet our Goliath. Take this Word and defeat him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that's why we do, because we keep life in our midst. So how do we keep death and devils and bondage away from us? By pleasing the one who keeps life around us, protection around us. Amen? By walking in holiness. You know, the word that we said, Brother Brent preached that sermon, works as faith expressed. And it was, I've told you this before, back early in 65, and he had the dream about working at the public service company. He was wondering what was wrong and why he kept dreaming about it. And some of them said, well, maybe you're ratting on God's job, because he told about how that while he was on that public service company job, they gave him money for breakfast, and he didn't eat it, and he didn't spend it. And they said, why is this guy not spending this? Why is he not turning a ticket for 50 cents? He's turning a ticket in for 5 cents. He said, well, I didn't need 50. And they got on to him and said, spend it anyway or whatever. And so he said, I would go out, and I'd find children that needed breakfast, and I'd feed them.
Yeah.
And I have to think, well, maybe the Lord was holding that against me. But he said, that was my supervisor telling me to do that. And he said, well, maybe I've done something wrong on that job, and I keep dreaming about that job. And then the Lord said, well, maybe you're ratting on God's job. And his job was to go find a bride.
Yeah.
And so middle of 65, he's still like, I still got to do that. I got to go find that bride.
Yeah.
And then at the end of 65, just a few sermons before the Lord took him, he preached that sermon, Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ.
Right?
Right? And so the very next night, you know, in that sermon, I won't get into it, but the next night he preached, works is faith expressed, and those first letters is wife, W-I-F-E.
Right.
And I said all that to say this, you know, well, here's the bride, and she's got to be in the channel of this holy righteousness that, right? And to be wife, living out the works,
yes,
is faith.
That's right.
Expressed. See, there is a life that, and as long as we're trying to, well, you know, no, we've got to step over into that and stay in that, and He can bless that. That's where His life can be all around us, and He doesn't have to back up and say, well, I can't bless that, right? We want to live in such a way that He can bless us.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
And that means we've got to obey His Word.
Amen.
Right? And you know, if you spend time in prayer and in the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit does not endorse those other things.
Right.
They are death. And when I say those other things, there's millions of them. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. Amen. So works is faith expressed. Amen. So I'm going to finish right there. Maybe next time I'll be able to get over into that Jeroboam part. Because it's very, very telling.
Yeah.
It's how, it shows us how that there's denominational churches different than the bride, and there's an elect seed that there really is, and then there's a bunch that are religious that aren't elect seeds. It's all right there in the Old Testament, all a pattern showing us exactly what happened over in the New Testament. And the opening of the seals come along and confirmed the whole thing and said that this is exactly what happened. What happened in the Old Testament has happened again.
Yes.
Right? And it all goes back to one thing. He's a jealous God. He loves us. Obey him. Get in line with his word, and you will see his blessings multiply among you and around you.
Amen.
And that's what I know Brother Daniel and I both, that's what we want in this church, in your lives, right? And so we have that responsibility to search out ourselves before the Lord. And anything we know we're compromising, if you know you're compromising on, you know that you're stepped off over here.
Yeah.
He can't bless that.
Right.
And if you keep doing that and it gets more and more, you know, then you're just pulling yourself away from what he can bless.
That's right.
Amen. So let's get in that channel of holiness.
Yes.
Amen.
That we are set apart, sanctified, dedicated to him.
Yes.
To everything we say and do and wear and go and act is honoring him.
Amen.
And does not pull away from his standard of who he is.
Amen.
At all. Let's do that. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. We thank you for this little time with your children. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, that you just, as I say so many times, you haven't left us without a testimony in this last day. I pray, God, that these words go down deep into the hearts of your children, that they can remember these things, Lord, that there is a way of righteousness, and there's no way around it. A way of holiness, a highway of holiness that takes us to the gates. It's up into heaven. We love you, Lord. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. In praying there, it reminded me of the story Brother Bram told about his mother having a dream, and he said his mother never had but two or three dreams in all of her life, but every time she had a dream, it was right. And she had a dream about him standing there, and there was, I guess he was preaching, but there was three steps that led up to a highway, and this highway went right on up into the gates of heaven. And he said, we're standing there preaching, and those three steps was justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that brought you up onto the highway, right? Which was the message.
Yeah.
And the message, as it went up, it got steeper and it got narrower. And there was a woman come along there, and she had a high heel shoes on, and she jumped up there and said, I'll show you that we can walk this highway dressed like that.
Yeah.
And she was warned. And she did pretty good for a while. She did pretty good for a while in the message. After several, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, she did fine. That's me talking, right? But she started, and it got steeper and narrower, and then she began to lose her balance, and she fell off of that highway and into the flames.
Yeah.
Brother Bram said, the daughters of Zion at the end time.
Mm-hmm.
People thinking that you can jump up on this message highway and live ungodly or compromise.
Yeah.
And that they're going to make it.
Yeah.
Right? That's a testimony. It's among us, right? We've seen it. We see it. We see what happens when people have stepped away just a little bit. We see where it takes them to. And so my cry is to everyone, anybody who hear this tonight, step back and analyze it.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Look at it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if we can have a song here. Let's go to 704. I'm going to try this. Just the chorus. Make sure I got the right key. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see.